Our mission is to make selling simpler than buying, right? Mm-hmm. And in a community, if you see somebody who needs something, if I can sell it to them at that moment in time that they need it, no matter what it is, it changes the face of commerce.
Aaron, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, Alessandro. How are you? Good to see you.
Good. You know, like Q4 is busy, I guess. I don't know if it's the same for you. For agencies, well, it's always the busiest season. So,
yeah, we've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday coming up here in a few days. So it's a little bit of a crazy time for us.
I can imagine. Well, thank you then for being with me today. You know, I know how crazy can it be. And for everyone that is listening today, why don't you tell us a bit more about yourself? I mean, we use this sort of framework that is very easy to follow, right? It's called MAP. Basically, it's the mission, the achievements, and the purpose, right? So people can understand a bit more about your personal life and, you know, career so far. And the mission, of course, it is like, you know, what do you aim to achieve? The achievements is like anything they want to share with us in terms of notable milestones, could be career or also like your life. And also, what is the purpose? So like, why do you do what you do?
Sounds great. So I guess the mission for me personally and, you know, for our company, Amaze Software, is to allow anyone to sell anything, anywhere with simple tools that connect. Sounds like a lot, but really, at the end of the day, I'm really, really passionate about making selling easier than buying. And if you think about the world that we live in today with social commerce and all the different ways people can buy something, it's probably gotten more difficult to figure out how to sell something at scale than it has been to figure out how to buy something, you know, effectively. So we're very, very motivated to try to figure out how to make selling easier than buying. And in my life, I've been CEO of 4 companies, and every one of those companies had a focus on helping small businesses, entrepreneurs figure out how to grow a brand, develop an audience, and so I for quite a long time, I've watched the challenges in different sort of time frames of people trying to establish themselves as a viable brand. You know, the late 90s, the early 2000s, the social media decade, watching people try to come together and how to develop sustainable brands. And so I feel like leading this company today where I am, my background has really been built for thinking about this at scale. But what motivates me are the people who have 10,000 followers who are making a sustainable income and watching them develop a brand. I think that if we can allow someone from the point of inspiration and passion to get to monetization, so they go from a hobby to a lifestyle, if we can allow them to do that simply, it creates tremendous amounts of value for the world, for small businesses, for entrepreneurs, and it creates a lot of value for our company, right? If I can make their lives easier to get it to monetization so that they can do more of what they're passionate about, That's sort of our purpose in this company.
Yeah, thank you for that. Can you share a bit more about the metrics? Like, you know, how many stores are being created in the past year? And also like any findings, right? Because sometimes when you have like, look at the data and insights, you can like, interesting. I didn't think about this, or like, oh, we're going in that direction because we're noticing this type of trend.
So Amaze Software has 3 business units. So we have our social commerce business, which is Spring by Amaze. Then we have Amaze Studio, which is a B2B platform, which allows for small businesses to connect better with larger e-commerce platforms. And then we have something called Managed Services, which is, you've seen press releases in the past of like our integration with Sam's Club, where we're helping drive customization in e-commerce engines. The majority of our effort this year has been around really accelerating the Spring by Amaze platform. But in the last 30 days, we just hit 12 million creators on our platform. So 12 million creators have come from various walks of life, different platforms. They've integrated and they've created stores. And we're now at a point where about just shy of 7,000 creators a day sign up. On the Amaze Studio side, we have around 700,000 B2B users, service providers, but most of those people are helping creators and businesses actually get their products onto large e-commerce platforms like Walmart.com and stuff like that. You know, we have creators coming in from 100 countries around the world on a daily basis. Over the last year or two, the requirements on the social platforms to actually have a monetization effort. Like for example, on YouTube, once you get to 500 subscribers, it pops up, would you like to monetize? That number used to be a couple thousand, you know, members, and now it's dropped down to 500. What's really interesting in the data is that even though the social platforms have decreased the amount of followers, members, subscribers you have to actually have access to their monetization tools, the people coming through the platform are what we would call mid-tier, sort of mid-level creators. So the volume of people coming through looking for ways to monetize are the creators that have 100,000 to a million followers, and they're coming through at scale. And that's the part that's very interesting in the data, because you would think by the time a creator got to 100,000 followers or 500,000 followers, that they would already be well on the path to thinking about alternative ways to monetize their business. But a lot of them haven't. A lot of them have been working so hard with the content that they're creating to create an audience, a community, that they really haven't done much else. And so to watch how that part of the creator economy, that segment is behaving, and the data we're collecting around that is very interesting to me.
Something else interesting I wanted to ask you, in addition to, you know, trends and everything that is going well and everything, what are some of the, instead, the current pain points like for creators or challenges? Have you noticed anything there that is like particularly important to them?
We are a software company that is trying to bring simple services, do-it-yourself services to creators, right? Mm-hmm. We're living in a world today where agencies control monetization for creators. You know, I think I read a report recently from Beacons AI that 12,500 creators, 12,500 agencies exist today in the creator economy just in North America. That means that the average agency is serving around 100 creators. So there's a lot of manual process and working with creators to bring them additional ways to monetize brand deals and e-commerce solutions. So when we think about this, we want to empower creators to do this themselves at scale, and keep more of the margin. We want them to keep a lot more money in their pockets than giving it to someone else. So some of the problems that they have is that just because you're a successful creator and you create content that somebody wants to look at on a social media platform or a gaming platform, doesn't mean that creative genius of creating content translates into creating products or creating a brand. So lots of sort of challenges and problems to solve around that brand identity piece for a creator. And then really the whole, I think creators are inherently entrepreneurs. I think that they have a very special talent around building communities, but it doesn't mean yet that they've learned how to become successful business people, right? A business needs some very basic skill sets.
Absolutely challenging for them. But also, I'd like to know your opinion on it. It's also the journey of social commerce, like as a thing, right? Not just because of the creators, but also the tech side, the behavior, like the user behaviors, the how smooth or not smooth is the user experience and so on. So in addition to the creator, we can also talk about that. But overall, how do you see the social commerce going these days? I know that now with TikTok Shop, right, it's slowly getting better and everything, but do you think that we're like there yet? Are we kind of far away from the social commerce that we might have in mind?
There's lots of dialogue happening around why maybe the US or the European economies are lagging behind in social commerce, maybe what's happening in China or Southeast Asia. But I think if you look at it over the last couple of years, the amount of growth in social commerce in our markets has been so staggering that I don't really view it as behind. I just view it as different. And the difference in my mind is the community. So if you look at how communities interact in different parts of the world, it's very different, right? In the US, how communities are built, it's extremely fragmented, right? And if you think about it, like in the US, you could start naming off the platforms: Snap, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, Twitch, Discord. There's so many competing communities and platforms that the communities probably are a bit fragmented in a way where it just hasn't caught up yet. Whereas maybe if you go into the China market, you have one or two dominant social platforms, right? I mean, completely dominant platforms. I think you see in the US the need for creators when they start to think about social commerce to have a strategy that addresses their community wherever the community lives. And it's a very different thinking than maybe what you might deal with in China, right? So I feel like social commerce is rapidly accelerating. I think all the conversation around TikTok shops is very interesting. It's interesting to me that TikTok shop it seems to publicly be thinking about how do we disrupt Amazon and how do we disrupt these big online commerce giants, right? And the reality for me is TikTok is built around communities and trends. I mean, if you go inside of TikTok, there's all these little micro trends and micro communities. And so I think what you'll see happen over the next couple of years in social commerce is this massive development around how communities are brought together with specific platforms. And what I mean by that is like how someone like a Maze might be the bridge that connects all these communities together in a much simpler way. I think a part of the topic that we don't talk about as much is the live stream shopping, and maybe we confuse the topic a bit: social commerce versus live stream shopping, and that's a whole different subject, right? And I think a bit of the live stream shopping piece is because some of the tech just hasn't been developed enough yet to be natively integrated in the platforms that streaming content, to make it really simple for that to happen, right? And that's more of a tech challenge than an overall social commerce challenge, right? So that's sort of what I feel about it. And I think we're well on our way with social commerce being a dominant force in revenue generation in the US. So,
hello, is your brand ready to amplify its reach? Well, the Influencer Marketing Factory is here to do just that. We are a global influencer marketing agency helping brands ignite their growth, from influencer identification to campaign strategy, handling legalities and agreements to managing shipping and logistics. We have it all covered. We work with hundreds of brands across different verticals, from Fortune 500 companies to DTC brands. And we don't just stop there. With detailed ROI analysis, we help brands like yours measure success, transforming impressions into actionable conversions. You can find us at theinfluencermarketingfactory.com or just search the Influencer Marketing Factory on Google.
We just now, you know, even updated our social commerce report. And while doing that, we found out so many apps between social commerce, so async, right? So you just bought something people can buy, and live streaming social apps, like, you know, that there are so many in the US, but all of them is really niche specific. Yeah. And as you correctly said before, there's no one yet that is a winner, right? While in China, you have a couple of them, they're big ones, and everything is kind of centralized, right? You're on WeChat, so I think that that is absolutely a big challenge there, and opportunities, right, for maybe the future of social media overall.
If you look at WeChat or you look at ShareChat in India, there's some tools there that allow the communities to connect better, right? The creator and the fan actually have more connectivity points than you do today. If you go on some of these other platforms, you'll see a creator and a fan. There's a connection point, but the creator probably couldn't tell you who their fan is. You know, is Alessandro a fan of mine? Is he following me on Instagram? I may not know, but I think if you look at some of the other global platforms, they're way ahead in the whole community piece, right? And I think that's something that's very interesting, because, you know, if you're going to be sustainable as a creator, as an entrepreneur, you have to understand what your community wants and thinks about a lot. And that means you have to have access to it, right? And fundamentally challenging the business principles of big social media platforms, because they don't want you to leave the platform.
If we look at the evolution of e-commerce, right? Now, if we go into the e-commerce, let's say 3.0, right? It seems to be a lot about hyper-personalization, very tailored on people. You want to have your unique type of piece. You know, there have been drop collection that be like, you know, very tailored on certain type of demographics and niche and so on. If you have any opinion on what is the future, right, of this hyper-personalization, really type of like a one-on-one specific item at a time, and how do we get there?
If you look back over the last 20, 30 years in commerce and the evolution of online commerce, right, different than if you walk into a retail store and you start shopping through a collection of products that you might want to buy, whether you're buying it for necessity or you're buying it for vanity or you're buying it for whatever. You've seen the first phase of it. You saw the world try to emulate online an in-store shopping experience. Then we migrated to, okay, let's be trend-based. Let's think about the latest trends and what's trending, and hey, I want to buy something based on what's trending, and I want to have the same shirt that this person has or the same furniture that this person has. It became very trend-based. Now, what you're seeing is that it is being a more and more personalization, customization of shopping is relevant, but it's because of the journey we've gone on, right? I have a son. My son is 7 years old. He loves Pokemon. He watches Pokemon on YouTube. He watches Pokemon on different apps. He reads books about Pokemon. He gets Pokemon cards, right? When does he get inspiration to buy something? When does he want something? Traditionally, he might have wanted to buy it when he saw it embedded in some other content. But what's interesting today about my 7-year-old is that he really, really wants to buy it when it relates to what he's working on. So for me, that personalization effort that you see happening is to try to really understand the consumer, the fan, the customer, the buyer, and really be there when they want to buy something. Artificial intelligence uses large language models that trace through these large databases of data, right? So I know every behavior that you take on your social media. So every single thing you do on social media can be tracked through a data engine, right? That data engine then is feeding into a large language model. So what I think is interesting though is how is AI going to help the creator and the fan connect in a way that they haven't connected in the past? Right now, the platform collects all the data, and under the hood, the platform uses that data to monetize. What happens in the future when the creator can use AI to understand what their fan or the community wants, and the creator then can start to think about how they monetize that community?
And do you think, is there anything else that is kind of missing in the creator economy? So if you look at the helicopter view, right?
So I told you that one of our missions is, our mission is to make selling simpler than buying, right? Mm-hmm. And in a community, if you see somebody who needs something, if I can sell it to them at that moment in time that they need it, no matter what it is, it changes the face of commerce. So it means that no matter what you need to buy, the person next to you in your community can sell it to you, right? It's a big thought. And underneath the hood then, that means that the technology has to connect into e-commerce platforms, distribution platforms, fulfillment platforms, manufacturing platforms. I think what we're trending towards is this community selling capability that empowers anyone to sell anything, right? And what it does in my mind is it empowers small brands to have more access. And so that's the piece that I'm thinking about a lot.
Last question for me on this. I know this is very difficult to answer on this, but is this something that's going to happen like overnight? Is something that in 1 year you think, or is something like it's going to take 10 years to completely disrupt it and change the mindset of people?
I think it's has the potential to be something very viral once the tech is easy enough to make it go viral. And so what I mean by that is that let's say we wake up next year, sometime in the spring, and you start to see brands via technology finding creators and selling at a much lower cost of acquisition than you do through the current media channels, right? Those brands are going to go completely viral about that impact. They're going to scream the success that they're having. I think we're right now, everyone in the tech space around this area, we're all running rapidly towards sort of trying to build the tech that lets the scale. We'll be rolling out in Q1 some beta software around the first phase of a brand app and how a brand connects to a creator. But as it starts to roll out, I think you're going to see this really sort of slow grind and then a massive, massive shift. And it won't impact, the big brands have enough budget today to keep trying all these different channels. But I think that small or medium-sized brand, once they discover this, And it starts to work at scale. It's going to change. It's going to change very, very rapidly.
Amazing. No, I'm very curious to see that, you know, once it goes out on Q1. So we'll absolutely be, you know, interested to see the journey, right, of these. It's definitely something big, right? Aaron, thank you so much for joining me today, for sharing all your knowledge with us. And how can people connect with you if you're open to that?
Very open. They can connect through us through amaze.co. That's our corporate website. They can come to me via in any of the social channels, you know, or my email address, which I'll give you. You can share to anyone who's interested. So.
Fantastic. Again, thank you so much. This was the Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory, and I'll see you next week.